You're a great job, thank you.
Good morning and welcome, everybody. It's a real joy to be here, even if the weather is not so joyful. But thank you all for being here. I just want to say it's been really lovely the last few times that I've been here, being able to come over to the sanctuary afterwards and to meet a few people and get to know you a little bit better. You'll know that I'm not yet there with names. I'm quite good at remembering people and stories and things, but you'll probably look at me sort of seeing you, slightly quizzical, going, I know I've heard your name, but I can't quite remember it. So I'm sorry, I'm trying my best, I will get there. But if I've not had a chance to have a proper sort of conversation with you and you're not hanging around to go for tea and coffee afterwards, which you're all very welcome to do so, it's lovely over there, I will be hanging around at the back of church inside, out of the rain, should you want to come and sort of have a brief hello, just to help me learn your names a little bit better. Because it's been a real joy to arrive, but I'm here for the long haul, and I'm dearly looking forward to getting to know you all better, not just as faces in the pews, but as people with stories that we can encourage one another with. That's it in terms of notices. Everything else is in your notice sheets. Everything else is trundling along as usual. And as ever, please do bear in mind your hopes and your fears, those things you would like to see happen here, and those things you really hope I won't break or damage. That's all really helpful feedback, and thank you to everyone that has already shared those things with me. But on this slightly gloomy day, we are here in the presence of God to pray, to worship, and to be encouraged by the scriptures. And before we start, I just want to say a prayer for any children at the back. I'm not quite sure if Tiger Club is on today or not, is it? It is. Pray for Tiger Club, and then we'll make our service begin. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to gather here in this space, at the heart of our community, remembering that you are at the heart of our lives. We pray that you will encourage us in our faith this morning. And we ask that you will encourage our young people as they head out into Tiger Club to have fun and to learn and reflect. And pray that they, when they return, will be an encouragement to each of us as well. Amen.
Amen.
Would you please stand for our first hymn, which is number 183.
Holy, holy, holy.
have sung. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Together we say, Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Would you please be seated? Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "The first commandment is this, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Amen. Lord, have mercy. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to be our advocate in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace with all. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbor, in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our collect prayer for this, the seventh Sunday after Trinity. Lord of all power and might, the author and giver of all good things, graft in our hearts the love of your name. Increase in us true religion. Nourish us with all goodness, and of your great mercy keep us in the same. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Now we have our scripture readings.
The Old Testament reading this morning is taken from the book of Genesis, chapter 28, beginning to read at verse 10. Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, "I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham, and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you." When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it." He was afraid and said, "How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven." Early the next morning, Jacob took the stone he had placed under his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. He called that place Bethel. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The New Testament reading is taken from Paul's letter to the church in Rome, chapter 8, beginning to read at verse 12. "Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it's not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, 'Abba, Father.' The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are God's children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed to us. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into freedom and glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Jacob arose and he said, "How awesome is God?" So let us stand likewise and sing, "O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all of the works thy hand hath made."
How great thou art.
Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Another parable he put before them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared also. And the servants of the householder came and said to him, 'Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then has it weeds?' He said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' The servant said to him, 'Then do you want us to go out and gather them?' But he said, 'No, lest in gathering the weeds you root up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn.' So Jesus left the crowds and went into the house. And his disciples came to him, saying, 'Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field.' He answered, 'He who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed means the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the close of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so will it be at the close of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all evildoers.'" This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. May I speak in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Parables such as this are dangerous territory for preachers. I have heard sermons in the past which I could not believe, because as I sat there and we had had this parable clearly read out to us, the preacher stood up and expounded with great confidence all of the symbolism of the parable in an entirely different way than Jesus goes on to explain it. And there are several parables where this happens. Last week we've heard from the parable of the sower, a different one to this one, which again has its own explanation given to the disciples by Jesus. So it's not for us to stand up and say, well, Jesus got it wrong later on when he explained it. Here's what he really meant beforehand. And it reminds me of a time when I was a child. My mother's father was also a vicar. And so we would go and stay with them, and he had a study filled with far more books than even I. And when you speak to Graham, he'll be able to tell you that I have got quite a number of books in my study, but my granddad had far more. And my brother and sister would get to stay in one of the guest rooms. My parents would be in the spare double room, and I would be on the camp bed in the study. Downstairs, and I would wake up, and I would be surrounded by all of these books. And my granddad was one of those who would get up quite early in the morning to read before breakfast, to pray and reflect. And he would come downstairs to the dining room, which was next to the study, and he would peer around the door to see if I was awake yet. And when I was, he would say good morning, and he would invite me to look at all these books and pick something that looked interesting. These books were books that I would later go on and study at theological college. And so asking an 8-year-old to pick one of these books was quite a daunting task. Often it would be one with an exciting name or with a different colour to the rest that were just in a sort of standard blue-backed hardback. But I would take it, and he would explain to me, if it was too hard for me, roughly the kinds of things that this person had spent a lot of their life writing about, studying, learning, and praying on. Sometimes I would pick one of the different translations of Bibles. And because this happened every time, I got used to knowing that this is what would happen. So one morning, my granddad came down to the dining room to find that I was already up, sitting at the table, reading from the Bible. He was like, "Oh, what are you reading?" "I'm reading the Gospel of Luke." "Oh, what are you finding?" And I said, "Granddad, Jesus is a really good teacher. Why do we stand up and make it complicated?" And he said, "If you can hold on to that, you'll do really well in your faith and in your life and everything. Like, hold on to that one thing. Jesus is the good teacher." And we talked about that over breakfast, but that's something that has always stuck with me. And I think that when we come to parables like this, it's best to just let Jesus teach. He says to us that the parable means this: the one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The one whom we now know is Jesus himself. The field is the world around us, and the good seed means the sons of the kingdom, the sons and daughters of the kingdom, those who we have heard in Romans are adopted as God's own children, giving us a hope that perseveres through all things. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, all those who reject Jesus, all those who want to remain in their sin rather than living a Christian life. The enemy who sowed them is the devil, the powers of darkness and sin, and spiritual realities which challenge the gospel of Christ. The harvest is the close of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so will it be at the close of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all evildoers. It's quite clear what each part of his parable means. The same with the other parable, such as that of the other good sower, where he talks about temptations of the world, cares of the world, persecution, causing seeds not to flourish and grow. There are other stories he tells. We have the man who leaves 99 sheep on the hillside to go and find the one that is missing. We have the woman who loses a silver coin, who will diligently clean through her whole house. We have the prodigal son, the one who takes his father's inheritance before he's died, goes off cavorting and having parties and having a jolly good time before experiencing intense difficulty. And on his return to his father, he expects that he will be shamed and have to be a servant in his household. But his father rejoices. He runs out to him and embraces him and brings him home. And of these three stories, Jesus says, such is the rejoicing of the angels in heaven over one sinner who repents. He tells stories, vivid ones that we can remember. And he does so for a reason. Because there's something about a story which is much easier to hold on to and remember than perhaps memorizing all of the commandments in the Old Testament. I wonder, we hear the summary at the beginning of every service. These are the two commandments on which all the law and the prophets hang. How many of you could recite those two off the top of your head? Very familiar. But if I were to put you on the spot and pick on one of you, could you say it verbatim? How about the Ten Commandments? We're all familiar with those. And yet, if I were to try and do them, as often as I recite them in the BCP in full at the 8 o'clock service, I'm not sure that I actually could. But I can tell you the parables. I can tell you the stories. They get into our hearts and our souls, and they teach us in Jesus' own words. But they do more than teach the individual points of each story. Each story is making a point to particular people at a particular point, trying to help them think in their situation. When we step back and we look at all the parables together, we realize that Jesus is teaching us how to look at stories, how to find the meaning of what God is revealing to us in them. And this is important because it lets us take another step, looking at the life and story of Jesus Christ himself. We see that God steps into the world as a newborn baby. He grows up, he teaches, he heals, he performs signs and wonders. He is made by many in the crowd to be called the Messiah. At times they try to capture him and make him their king, and each time he has to step away. His role is not to be a king in the human sense, but to undergo injustice. He is taken in the dead of night, held before a court which has no real power to actually do what they're trying to do to him. They blackmail the leading authorities, Pilate, and say, "You must crucify him rather than letting us have this criminal be executed in his place. You must crucify this man who is doing all these wonderful things." So there he is on the cross, dying a death that he did not deserve, for each of us who did deserve it. He was buried into our death. He takes all that is wrong in our lives, our hurts, our infirmities, our health, everything that is wrong about the human existence, and he buries it in the grave. And then 3 days later, by the love of God the Father, the same love that the Father had for his prodigal son, the same joy and excitement over his son that the angels have over a sinner who repents, the joy of God, the love of God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, raises Jesus from the dead as a living promise. But for as long as Jesus lives, which he still does and will always, God's love is freely available to us. This is the story that we see. By listening to the parables, we learn to engage with stories. We take the meaning out of them. And then we realize that the whole gospel is a parable. But unlike the parables that Jesus told, it's not a story invented by wise and religious people. It's a history recorded by those who encountered the revelation of God in their own lives, standing amongst them. And there's one last kind of parable, which in truth is my favorite kind of parable. It's the parables we tell one another. The other day I had the opportunity to go and see a friend of mine, who is a very good person. He does not put himself up before others, but he takes a sincere interest in everyone else's problems. He always puts them first. And we had a 30th birthday party for him, and a few people stood up and said really good things about how much of an impact he's made on our lives. But he is that way because of his faith. He struggles with really bad depression, but Jesus is faithful to him and gives him hope in the middle of it. And so even on his worst days, he is a living example to those around him of the power of Christian faith. Coming here, for me, has been a real example of God's provision. We've been looking for a place to go. Where would work for someone that can't drive, but is from multi-parish rural ministry? Where is there a place where I can do a service like here, as well as a really formal 8 o'clock BCP communion at Holy Trinity? Where would we go? And yet God led us here to you. And each of you have your own stories of moments where faith has made a difference. And when we tell our stories, like the parables of Jesus, people see God in them. They are encouraged. Even better, they become curious. And I think that all of these parables at their heart are an invitation to be curious about God. For that's what happened to the disciples. Jesus told the parable, he goes in to have a meal, and the disciples come up to him and they're like, "Look, we don't get it. But there's something interesting in this. What does it mean? Explain to us this parable." My hope is that by sharing our stories of faith, other people will be curious. They will say to each of us, "I don't get it. Can you explain this to me?" And that gives you an opportunity to invite them into the story of God, and in time to invite them to do what we do each Sunday and come to the table to taste in the bread and the wine the promises of the gospel. Amen.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, in the silence and peace of our church today, we thank you for sending us the Holy Spirit and for hearing our prayers. Firstly, a prayer for our benefice. Almighty God, we thank you that you are leading our benefice into a new season of our shared life together. We pray for our ministry team, for Samuel, our new vicar, and for Graham, Mary, and David, as together they lead us in worship and prayer. We pray for our church wardens, David, Catherine, Oliver, and Paul. Be with them and our PCCs as they support you faithfully by supporting our churches. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. A prayer for wisdom. We reflect on Jesus' parables. We pray for the wisdom to cherish the many blessings of the good soil in our lives, and for our rejection of the weeds of sin by following the teachings of Jesus and listening to your Holy Spirit. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. A prayer for leaders, especially our own. We pray once more for our world leaders at this critical time, that they will use their immense power to do good and not harm, and to collaborate in solving and not creating wars, famine, poverty, disease, and climate extremes. We pray for peace and reconciliation in our world and for love to overcome mistrust and conflict. We pray for the end of the brutal war in Ukraine and the threats of new global conflicts and the end of famines in Africa and other countries. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. A prayer for others known to us. We pray for those in our church and in our community who are unwell or convalescing. We pray for those who are suffering from physical and mental illness, loneliness, or bereavement. Help us to reassure them that your Holy Spirit is always with them. Make us compassionate with our responses to their difficulties. We pray for those on our notice sheet who are now in recovery. We give thanks and praise for Corinne Summers, now recovering after surgery to remove a cancerous tumor. Tash Baker's mother, following surgery for breast cancer. Paul and Jean Rickett's daughter-in-law, Amanda. Christine Nisbet, with us here today, and Caden Edwards, who is having his last treatment at Wickham and needs his appetite to return. For the friends and family of Anne Ludlow at the memorial service at Holy Trinity next Tuesday, 25th of July. And in a moment of silent prayer, we pray for others known to us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Finally, a prayer of thanks and praise. We thank and praise you for the many blessings we enjoy in your beautiful creation. May the Holy Spirit keep us free from the weeds of sin. Inspire us to share our Christian love and stories with others in our church and in our community of Penn and Tyler's Green, so that they too can know Jesus. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Let us stand and together confess our faith. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sakes he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. God is love, and those who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Let us share with one another a sign of Christ's peace. Stand and sing our next hymn, not the one we just sang. I will sing The Wondrous Story, 278.
Thank you.
please be seated. Our service continues on page 7 with Eucharistic Prayer 2. The Lord is here.
His Spirit is with us.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Father, we give you thanks and praise through your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, your living Word, through whom you have created all things, who was sent by you in your great goodness to be our Saviour. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he took flesh as your Son, born of the Blessed Virgin. He lived on earth and went about among us. He opened wide his arms for us on the cross. He put an end to death by dying for us and revealed the resurrection by rising to new life. So he fulfilled your will and won for you a holy people. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name, forever praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Lord, you are holy indeed, the source of all holiness. Grant that by the power of your Holy Spirit and according to your holy will, these gifts of bread and wine may be to us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, who in the same night that he was betrayed, took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and gave you thanks. He gave it to them, saying, Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. Great is the mystery of faith. Lord, by your cross and resurrection, you have set us free. You are the Saviour of the world. And so, Father, calling to mind his death on the cross, his perfect sacrifice made once for the sins of the whole world, rejoicing in his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension, and looking for his coming in glory, we celebrate this memorial of our redemption. As we offer you this, our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, we bring before you this bread and this cup, and we thank you for counting us worthy to stand in your presence and serve you. Send the Holy Spirit on your people, and gather into one in your kingdom all who share this one bread and one cup, so that we, in the company of all of the saints, might praise and glorify you forever, through Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom and with whom and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honour and glory be yours, Almighty Father, for ever and ever. Amen. As our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. Jesus, Lamb of God, have mercy on us. Jesus, bearer of our sins, have mercy on us. Jesus, Redeemer of the world, grant us peace. Draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Body of our Lord Jesus Christ. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord God, whose Son is the true vine and the source of life, ever giving himself that the world may live, may we so receive within ourselves the power of his death and passion, that in his saving cup we may share his glory and be made perfect in his love, for he is alive and reigns, now and forever. Amen. Father of all, we give you thanks and praise that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son and brought us home. Dying and living, he declared your love, gave us grace and opened the gate of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to others. We whom the Spirit lights, give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope you have set before us, so we and all your children shall be free, and the whole earth to praise your name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. We have talked about the power of stories today. It seems fitting that we should come and ask Tiger Club, what have you been up to in your stories today? Oh, wow. So they've been doing the story of Jacob's ladder, which is the one we heard in Genesis, which is actually one that I really like and was very tempted to talk about. What they've got, it's probably hard for you to see, but it's concertinaed folding paper to represent the ladder on which the angels ascended and descended, which was what prompted Jacob to say, how awesome is God for having shown him this? How awesome it is that you have made these things to be a tangible sign of that story. Now, earlier on when we heard how awesome God was, we stood and sang. So I wonder, would you be happy to come to the microphone and announce our hymn? Which one's right? There you go. Nice and loud. So the number is the top one. Just say the number nice and loud.
44.
Number 44. You've heard it here. Thank you very much. Let us stand and sing number 44. Blessed Assurance is Mine. To share your stories, your parables of faith, partly with me because I would love to hear them, and connecting stories with faces is a good way of learning names, but also amongst one another. Let us be a church that encourages each other with our own experiences and stories of faith. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and the love of God, and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you always. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.